You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management, Incorporated, member FINRA/SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome to New Retirement Radio on WTCM. We have a studio full of appropriate professionals here. Welcome. It's Prout Financial Design's New Retirement Radio as we introduce Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ron. It is great to be here on Thursday, October 27th, 2022. So we have joining us, and boy, we've got a lot to discuss here, and before we get started with that, I want to introduce Heidi Cartwright. Thank you, Heidi, for joining us, our own retirement income certified professional. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's great to be here today.
It's great to be here. Great to have you with us. And then also, as well, Deanne Jennings, sitting in the guest chair, rather, in the back.
Yes. It's such a beautiful day today in northern Michigan.
Yes, indeed.
Is it really?
It is. You need to get out there, Ron. The sun is shining. It's warmish.
The last I heard, it was 25 degrees and grayling. It's nice out,
no,
really.
It's nice Traverse now. City, it's very nice.
Have to get out. Yeah. It's gorgeous. Get out it's more often.
You bet. And our own guest from Social Security, Bob Simpson.
Bob Good Simpson. Morning. Good morning, bet. Everybody.
Yay. Woo-hoo.
We just didn't realize we had that kind of an audience here this morning.
Awesome.
Happy to be
awesome.
Here in the audience. Yep. And a district manager, local Social Security Administration. You oversee three offices, Petoskey,
right.
Cadillac, as well as Traverse City.
Correct. Excellent. They keep me busy. I'm very
you betcha.
Busy.
Yeah. You betcha. And in our pre-show, if you will, discussing the different aspects of Social Security. Always, always so interesting, Bob, and we want to make sure and mention, thank the Social Security Administration for allowing you to come on.
Right.
That is
right.
Something that you have to request and is allowed from them mm-hmm. for you to do. So we are very appreciative of them allowing us to have you on.
Yes, indeed.
Fantastic. So there are a lot of questions. If you do have a question of a nature related specifically to Social Security, if you would, Ron, how should people get in touch?
People can call us live here on this Thursday live broadcast, 947-0023, 947-0023, or shoot us a comment or question on the text line at 237-7855, 237-7855.
Awesome. Thank you, Ron. So we've got a ton of questions here, too, to discuss, and we're looking forward to doing that. But before we get started, I just want to make a quick mention. It's always interesting looking back. Tim DeNike, who's one of your representative here, has worked with us for years, wished me a happy birthday this morning, and I was thinking about the experience of being on the radio this long. I think it's 16, 17 years or so, and just thanked him for our experience here with WTCM. It's been fantastic. We love what it does for our practice. It's continued to help us grow, but it's also kept us sharper. I think that is a common theme that we have because we work on this every Monday. We get together. What are we going to discuss? What should we be discussing? And the classes, frankly, have helped us keep in touch with that. We just got through with our classes, and they were well attended. It is great to hear from the general public. You know, what is concerning you? What are you thinking about? What's going on out there? So it's obviously we hear from our clients, but to hear from a wider populace as well is just fantastic. So we are so fortunate, and we are extremely thankful to be on WTCM. It's been a good relationship for us over the years.
It's good to have you here.
It's a pleasure. You bet.
So, in the Prout Financial Design Studio.
Yeah. Help sponsor that, too. And we enjoy it.
So, Bob, right off the top of it, Social Security for 23, an 8.7% increase.
Isn't that amazing? 8.7, folks. That is just great. And you're going to see that in your check in January.
In January,
8.7% cost of living adjustment.
On the up. Now, what's interesting is in previous years, Medicare has also gone up, and I've always heard that as kind of a, well, my benefit went up, Social Security benefit, but so did Medicare cost. Right. Now, this time, for the first time in my memory, Medicare costs are going down by about $5 a month.
The Medicare premium is going to be $165.
$165 on the average. Yeah. And that's for an average income on up to, what is it, $85,000
or
so?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So there is corresponding higher amounts for that premium for the Part B side.
Right. That's what we call IRMA. IRMA, it's income-related monthly adjustment amount for you pay a higher Medicare premium if you have higher income.
Yeah, but would that premium go down as well correspondingly? Do you know?
I'm not exactly sure, but
neither am I.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
That's a good question. Should have thought of that earlier, right? So if the amounts, the first question is, how much are you able to earn as a Social Security recipient outside in wages before you begin to see a cut in your benefit, in the Social Security benefit itself?
Yeah, great question. We get this all the time, and it really plays into when you're going to file for your Social Security, how much you're working. So if you are working and you're 62, 63 years old, how much you earn depends. It will affect what your Social Security is going to be. You can earn $21,240 next year and still receive Social Security checks all year round. If you earn over that, $21,240, we withhold $1 for every two that you go over for benefits for the year.
Okay.
But that's only if you aren't your full retirement age. Is that correct?
Right. That's between your 62 and the year your full retirement age. Correct. Or if you're receiving benefits as a child, you also have those earnings test limits as well.
Okay.
So full retirement age for someone right now is about what age? Can you give us an estimate
It's about 66 and a half.
Okay.
Right. But people who are born after 1960, their full retirement age is 67.
Okay. So that's the maximum full retirement age currently.
Correct.
But
correct.
Someone could wait theoretically still until they're age 70 to collect.
Right. And you might want to do that because you get delayed retirement credits is what we call them. That's 8% per year. So if you reach your full retirement age, you keep waiting and waiting, 8% return on your monthly Social Security benefit.
Now, why would someone want to possibly wait until they're 70? Man.
Well, there could be a couple of reasons I know of. And we were talking about this before the show. And I was asking Bob because I took 10 years off from my career to raise my kids. And so I have a lot of zeros in my working history. Mm. And to get a larger benefit, a strategy for me could be that waiting, right?
Right.
Because if you anticipate living a long time as well.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully.
Yeah.
Well, how we figure the benefit is we take the highest 35 years of work. So like in Heidi's circumstance, if she was off working with the kid, raising the family, working with the kids, not paying into Social Security, she might not have 35 years of work under Social Security. So every year you work, it's going to increase your benefit.
Most likely, in most cases, income is increased over the years.
Yes.
So those, even if those were lower numbers, Heidi was working part-time, those numbers would drop off as well, thus increasing her benefit pretty significantly.
Correct.
So then the other part of that, not only the cut in benefits and waiting until age 70 possibly, is that taxability. When are Social Security benefits taxable?
Yeah,
talk to us about that.
Okay, benefits are taxable if you are single and have $25,000 of income.
Yearly income. That's what your. That's when
your total income, your pension, total income, Social Security, yep, and any earnings
over $25,000 or $32,000 for a couple. So it's going to be a lot of people are going to pay Social Security, or your Social Security benefits are going to be taxable.
Okay.
So you need to think of that, whether you want to be keep working, paying taxes. So that's a big decision that you're going to make. We don't want you to stop and start, although you can. It's tricky.
So those numbers, Bob, we were talking how those numbers you just quoted, those mm-hmm. don't move, not like the COLA of your
right.
benefit. Those income numbers haven't moved for
those
a
Those are
long
in the
time.
Tax. Yeah, those are the tax laws. And those aren't moving. So,
you can control a lot of things, but you cannot control the IRS.
Is that's that what you're saying? Very true. Very
right.
true.
Great. Right. All right, so, Ron, we had a question on the...
Yeah,
on
let's
the,
go. Doug is on the line in Traverse City. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I heard you mention an 8-point-something percent increase on Social Security. I'm not there yet. I'm 64. However, I was curious because I get the yearly statements, and I was wondering if someone in my position would benefit as same as someone who's drawing with the increase. Would that increase my benefit going when I do retire?
Yes, it's going to affect what your benefit's going to be as well, Doug. Now, what we do is we take the highest 35 years and come up with your full retirement amount. And so that 8.7 is going to figure in the calculation of what we do. So, yeah, you're going to see an increase in that. So what you'll want to do is get your statement for next year. Like in January and February, you can go to your My Social Security account, or we're going to mail it to you because of your age, and you'll see that that amount has changed and has gone up.
Oh, okay. I appreciate that.
It's good news, Doug. Good news.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you, Doug, for that question, by the way, because we've had that very question from a client, not this last week. They were thinking that if they weren't yet collecting, that they were going to pay the price for that versus someone who already was, because they weren't going to collect that benefit.
Right.
And I had never heard that before.
No.
And obviously you're saying that's not the case,
correct,
of course,
right,
that they're going to get an 8.7% increase in the benefit that they would have already gotten. So let's say, you know, if it's $1,000 a month, let's say at age 65, they're going to get an 8.7 increase on that $1,000
from
age 65.
It's all moving. It's an all-moving calculation.
It's all in the same escalator.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. I love
very
that.
Good.
It's all
like
in the same escalator.
And a quick question on the text line for Bob Simpson. My son is disabled, aged 14. Does he receive Social Security disability when he turns 18, regardless of my income? He doesn't now because of my income, is what they told me at the Social Security office.
Okay. Well, there's a lot to that question. There's two programs that we administer, Social Security disability, and you have to have worked and paid into Social Security in order to get that. All right. And we also administer the SSI program, Supplemental Security Income. So someone who is 14 years old and disabled, they may be eligible for a disability benefit, but that would be under SSI, Supplemental Security Income. And what they'd be eligible for depends on the income in the household. And it's for low income people. Okay. As low income in the household, he might be eligible.
So, when he turns 18, is he in a different status because he's an adult?
Yes.
So, but it's still the household.
If he's living in a household, I mean, he might move out, then he might be eligible for an SSI benefit on his record. Now, if he's disabled before age 22, he can be eligible for a disabled benefit based on his parents' record. So that's something in the future that we're going to need to look at.
So how would they do this internally? SSI automatically switches it over to Social Security Administration?
We look at Social Security first. So we're going to look at this person and we're going to say, okay, they're 14. Did they work? Probably not.
Right.
Okay. So they're not eligible for a Social Security benefit. But we also look, are the parents drawing Social Security, or is one of the parents deceased? then we see whether we can put the child on as a child's benefit. We look at Social Security first, because that's going to pay more. And by law, we have to do that. Then we'll look at the SSI and say, are they disabled under our rules? And if they are, what is the income in the household? Because it's income-based.
All right. Now, I've got a quick couple of paragraphs to read here as a part of this question regarding children. And we were discussing this, really enlightening. Social Security benefits for children are a big deal. In January of 17, there were more than 4.2 million children receiving Social Security benefits because one or both of their parents are three things here: disabled, one, retired, two, or deceased. These benefit payments to children total more than $2.6 billion every month. Sadly, many children don't get the benefits for which they are eligible. Now, this was the key point, I thought. Most people don't know about the qualifications and rules for the special benefit, so they don't know to apply for their children in their lives. So who is eligible for benefits for Social Security? First of all, you became disabled, you retire, or you die as the Social Security participant.
The wage earner.
There you go.
Right.
And, big circle here, and the child is unmarried, under age 18, 18 or 19 if a full-time student, or 18 and older and disabled with a disability that started before age 22.
Correct.
So there are a lot of ways in which a parent with a younger child could collect.
Right. So what we do is how we find folks like this is when somebody files for a retirement benefit or a survivor benefit or disability benefit, that's part of the application. We ask them, do you have any young children under age 19 or any disabled children? And they might say, well, my son's disabled. He's 45. And I was, okay, when did he become disabled? Before age 22? No, he got in a car accident at 40. Okay, then he wouldn't be eligible on the parent. But we ask those, we take this very, very seriously. We do not want to miss any child entitlement for a child.
Retired and you have a child under 18, that child, no matter if you're disabled or not, or he is or she is or not, if they apply properly, they get Social Security benefits.
Only if you are.
Right, okay.
If the wage earner is drawing a Social Security benefit, the child can receive a benefit. So, I always tell people, how can I increase my Social Security benefit? Start having children. There you go.
Now, this also applies to dependent grandchildren, too. Now, this may be a big surprise. Let's say you're 70 years old. Mm-hmm. You inherit a grandchild that's living with you. Is this an adoption process? How does that work,
Bob? It would be an adoption process. You adopt your grandchild.
Yes.
Or if the child is, and the parent is like out of the picture because the parent is deceased, the parent is disabled, or an adoption case.
Okay.
Then the grandchild can receive benefits off the grandparent's record. And each case is unique. So if you're raising your grandkids, call us and say, this is a circumstance, because we don't want to miss the kids.
Oh, absolutely.
And you could probably use the income, because raising children is really expensive.
Yes, it certainly is.
I've done it.
So this is incredible. So what is the percentage of the benefit? Let's say, let's use that simple, well, let's just say $2,000 a month grandparent is collecting. About what percentage of their benefit can they collect for the child, let's say a minor child that's in their home?
The child is eligible for 50% of what the grandparent would be receiving, or the parent.
Okay.
So if they're getting $2,000, the wage earner is getting $2,000, the child can receive $1,000. So that's $3,000.
Is that in the child's name? Do they get the money, or is it just for the parents to help?
We don't pay minors, okay? So we're going to pay a representative payee. So if they're living with the parent, the parent will apply to be the representative payee.
Okay.
And say, Ron Jolly for whomever.
Yes. There you go.
Let's see. One quick question might have just come in. Let's see. What year was the taxable Social Security level set? Little history question. Do you know that offhand, Bob?
No, I don't.
I'm relatively certain that was set during the Bush 1 administration.
That's the taxable Social Security.
The
okay.
Taxable
Social Security. Was a Clinton bill that went through the Clinton administration?
I think it was Bush 1 where that came in.
Because you're saying that at up to that, whatever point, Social Security was not taxed?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Well, we'll see if we can find that out.
We also had an email sent to Colleen. Thanks, Colleen, for sharing this with us. We sure appreciate it. Someone had sent this specifically to you for Social Security question. I'm going to read this, Bob, so you can respond. Through good fortune, luck, and a bit of hard work, I'm currently earning almost twice as much as my 30-year average salary to which Social Security payments are applied. I will soon be at full retirement age, probably means 66 and whatever months that is for this person. I am currently earning almost, but I'm thinking about deferring Social Security until age 70 if the next 4 years will significantly increase my monthly allocation. My current 30-year average salary is $70,415 with a monthly allocation of $2,857. So what they would get from Social Security, $2,857. At full retirement age, and 38, 39, almost 1,000 more a month at age 70. If I continue working to age 70, my 30-year average will be 83,673. If based on the pro rata share of 65%, that would increase my benefit from the estimated 3,800 to 4,562. An increase of about $723 a month will begin from right now at $2,857, $4,562. That's almost, what is that, $1,700 a month more.
Right.
So significant. Any comments on that?
Yes,
Bob?
Yes. This gentleman has obviously done his research and this is
math.
Great. And his math. Yeah. and I want to offer to the audience that you can do your research too as well. Go to My Social Security and mysocialsecurity.gov. You run a Social Security My Social Security account, and you can look and see what your earnings are for your entire lifetime. And you can also, it'll give you an estimate of what your retirement benefit would be, what your disability benefit would be, also what a survivor would receive off your record. And you can also make a lot of changes on the record. You can change your address. You can change direct deposit if you're drawing benefits. See your notices that we send to you. You can do that with the My Social Security account. But what this gentleman has done is he's calculated what his Social Security would be. And his basic question is, I'm going to be earning a lot more money now, starting by my full retirement age. Is that going to affect my Social Security? And it is. It's going to increase his Social Security. We're talking about that escalator that's moving, going up.
Mm-hmm.
His is really going up. This is great. What's going to happen is those low years, we're going to replace those with the earnings that he's making now.
Correct, so, because it's the top 35 years.
Yeah, highest 35 years. So what he's going to earn this year, next year, it's going to drop those low ones. So he's going to have an increase in benefits.
The question is, can the increased salary in the last 4 years of earning have that kind of impact on monthly Social Security payments? He's almost in disbelief here.
It's not going to be a huge impact because we take the highest 35 years,
All right.
It would be a huge impact if he has a lot of zeros. Kind of like Heidi. We talked to him about Heidi. had that hole in the record there. But if just this gentleman's worked his entire life, it's going to be a small incremental, but it will make a difference. And we do that, and a lot of people, when they're 58, 59, if they've been thrown out of work or they retire early, they're a little nervous. They're like, oh, my goodness, Bob, what's going to happen to my Social Security? I said, don't worry, because we take your highest 35 years. Some people think, the last 3 years. No. No, ma'am, no, sir. It's the highest 35.
Yeah.
So if you retire early, all hope is not lost, folks. All hope is not lost.
So great points. And the key on this is top 35 years. But we often talk to clients, too, when we're running a financial plan, just to show them the difference in their total income, anticipating their life expectancies. Right. Obviously, that's an anticipation. But the difference in income can be $100,000, $150,000. They can be significant. Assuming, again, those life expectancies, whether they're an average or whether they're above average. which we've commented before, anyone listening to WTCM has an above average life expectancy generally, okay? So that's fantastic, Bob, to take a look at that and see that. We often get that question, and we realize it's an individual response to it. But if you have longevity, if you have, it generally means good health, mm-hmm. it's not just about that. If you have a survivor of you who could collect on your benefit because you waited, that's another great question.
You might want to wait, because the longer you wait, the higher the survivor benefit's going to be as well.
Yes. So there's some great common themes there to think mm-hmm. about. It may be about your benefit. It may be about your longevity. It may be about the fact that you're going to continue working. Now, let's say the same individual didn't continue to work. Mm-hmm. Would his benefit still increase by that quoted 8% per year?
It's going to increase, might not necessarily be by 8.7%, but it is going to increase over time. It's that escalator that's moving, like we talked about.
Yes. So each year that he or she would wait, there's still an increase, not right. including the CPI or the Consumer right. Price Index. They're still going to get an increased benefit for their right. lifetimes. Here are the questions, yes. So factors that can affect your strategy. Thank you, Deanne. So your health status,
very much
number
so.
One.
Very much so.
How many years do you think you'll collect benefits? Mm-hmm. What's a good estimate for you? Your savings. Could you make up savings, or rather income from outside savings? Three, your marital status. Are you married, and or could you collect even perhaps on a divorced spouse
right,
as well?
Right. We ask a lot of personal questions when you file for benefits, and because we're looking for children earlier. You know, we talked about children earlier.
Sure.
We also ask about marriage situations.
Sure.
If you've been married and you're divorced now, if you've been married, the marriage lasted 10 years or longer, you could possibly go on that spouse's record.
And they won't know about it.
And they won't know about it, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Now, the same thing applies for a deceased spouse situation.
Correct. That is correct.
All right.
I have a question along those lines on the text line.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. My disabled son, this is the, my disabled son, who is now deceased, did draw Social Security on my husband, who is his father. We were told that his daughter, the deceased daughter, who is now 14, is not eligible for Social Security to help her mother with the cost of her expenses unless she's disabled, meaning, I guess, the daughter or the mother, the daughter, I guess.
Yeah.
So
that is correct, because the person who is disabled did not work and pay Social Security tax. They were a disabled child on the father's record. And they had a child. So the person, there's no one who is, there's no auxiliary benefit amount for them. So, yeah, that is correct, the 14-year-old. Now, if the 14-year-old is disabled, they might be able to eligible for SSI depending on the income in the household.
How about if the mother retires and collects Social Security?
Yes, then the 14-year-old can go on the mother.
There we go.
So along the same lines, a listener who doesn't want to be named wonders if it's possible to collect Social Security on a deceased ex-spouse.
Yes, yes. If you're married more than 10 years, you can receive a divorced spouse's benefit, a widow's benefit, divorced widow's benefit.
As long as you didn't remarry.
If you remarried after age 60, you could go back on that divorced spouse record.
So you have to wait until you're remarry until you're 60 years old.
But, well, what'll happen is if you remarry before age 60, that marriage could block that other situation, that other entitlement.
Okay.
So the bottom line is, if you're going to get married, call us, and we'll go through a couple scenarios with you. It's true. I mean, let's say you're 58 and you're in love, you're going to get married again. You might want to wait until you're 60.
Wait until you're 60.
Maybe.
Yeah, let's go to the Social Security Administration before we tie the knot, shall we? Isn't that crazy.
Very romantic. Very romantic.
Question, Ron.
Yes. Quick call on the line from Chris in Traverse City. Hello, Chris.
Yes, I'm here.
Excellent. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, first a comment. You know, the 8.7% increase is wonderful, But I'm just wondering, and I'm just guessing, that the way inflation is going now, with everything averaging probably at least 15% above what it used to be, you know, we're still lagging behind for retirees. And I don't know how our guest host or well, our guest speaker.
That's 8.7%. They do it once a year. They do the calculation.
Once a year. Yeah, let me tell you how it's calculated. It's based on the Consumer Price Index for urban wage earners and clerical workers, CPIW. And the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they're the ones that determine this. They go around and they look at all the prices and everything. It's all math. It's all math, Chris. It's all done. It's all, you know, it's set. This is what it's going to be. So a year from now, whatever the prices were, the CPIW, they're going to look, and that's what it's going to be.
All right.
And you're right, Chris. You know, some prices are a lot higher than 8.7. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
What was your question today, Chris?
The actual question was, can you explain the fairness of the windfall elimination provision, which I happen to be both lucky to have, but at the same time I feel I'm getting cheated because I paid the full amount into Social Security and I'm only getting a portion of that.
Right. Chris, where did you work where you're getting the pension?
I worked for a major city in Detroit. Around Detroit.
Okay. All right. Okay. So what happened in your circumstance is you worked for the city and you were not paying into Social Security. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So how the Social Security benefits is calculated is we take the highest 35 years. And we replace benefits for people, for the average person, about 30 to 40% of your wages. That's what Social Security said. If you have low income, what we do is we replace a little bit more. So you get a higher benefit if you're a poorer worker, okay? So what happens is in your circumstance, Chris, what we did is we look at your record and said, oh, Chris didn't work that much, so we're going to boost his Social Security benefit. So we're going to pay him a little more higher benefit, Social Security. But in reality, you were working for the city. And your wages might not have been that low. So what happens is we apply the windfall elimination provision, or WEP is what it's called. And what that does is it lowers your Social Security to bring it back to an average amount. And it's very contentious. You're right, Chris. You paid in Social Security, but the benefit that you would receive is as if you didn't have that much money over your lifetime. Hmm. So yeah, it's a political football. It really is.
Yeah, just so the listening public might not understand. I worked two jobs.
Right.
I worked for a municipality where I didn't pay Social Security, but I paid into a pension fund. And then I also worked as a side job that I paid totally into Social Security.
Right.
So you do get the pension from the municipality, right? You get the guaranteed pension?
Yes.
Okay.
But I don't get the full value of what I paid into the Social Security.
Right. That is correct. You're right, Chris.
All right.
That's a tough one. Thank you for the call, Chris. Appreciate the comments. Yep. All right. So let's hit the – are we ready for Deanne's stats here?
Absolutely.
Bit, shall we? Thanks,
Deanne. Nearly 70 million Americans receive Social Security benefits, and nearly a quarter of recipients, 65-plus, rely on those checks for most of their income, and that source is Market Briefs. The annual increase applied to Social Security retirement benefits as of January 1st, 2023, is based on the Consumer Price Index inflation over the 12 months ending September 30th, 2022. Inflation over the 9 months from October 10/1/21 through June 30th, 22 has been reported and is up 8.7%. The Social Security cost of living adjustment has gone up 10%, just twice in history, up 14.3% in 1980 and up 11.2% in 1981, and that's the Department of Labor. According to the Social Security Administration, the average acceptance rate of initial applications is 22%, and approximately 63% of the SSDI, which is the Social Security Disability Insurance applications, are denied. So 63% of those applications are denied. And Bob, can you just briefly describe, talking about disability, what are the steps, the process to applying for disability?
Thank you, Deanne. Yeah, what happens is what a person will do is if they become disabled, and that disability is a physical disability or a mental disability or a combination of both. Our definition of disability is that you're so disabled that you cannot work at all, and that work, that disability lasts a year or longer or result in your death. So it's a long time disability. And so if you, you know, if we're driving home back to the office and we get in a car accident, we break our leg, break our arm, we're not going to get disability benefits. We're going to be denied. And what the process is, we want people to file online. They go online and they tell us their medical condition. They tell us what their disability is. They tell us what their doctors are and the medications that they're taking, a lot of private information, and you are protected by the Privacy Act. They tell us all this information, and we also ask about the their living circumstances and their marriage circumstances. Wow. All that is pretty involved. But we that information, and what we do is we take that and we send it over to the Disability Determination Service. And what they do is their folks, they're going to contact your doctors. They're going to see whether you're disabled under our rules or not.
Wow.
And the process takes a while. It can take 3, 4, 5 months for that to happen. And it's a really frustrating process. It really is.
A lot of employees, I would think, to do all that busy work.
Yes, exactly, because they need to contact your doctors. And then if you don't have a doctor, we'll send you to one of our doctors, a consultative exam that we've contracted with a doctor to say, hey, see if that person's disabled under our rules or not.
Okay.
Well, this could be a really important benefit, though, of Social Security.
It is.
Because, I mean, I've recently talked to some people who have come in, and, you know, if they have a major health event that causes them to be disabled, I mean, having that additional benefit coming in can make all the difference to that family being able to continue on and function, and the kids and everyone being taken care of.
Right.
And it's something that we don't always think about as we're working and paying in, because we're thinking about retirement. But what a safety net for us. If you don't have that private insurance, you probably still have that Social Security.
That's why you need to get one of those My Social Security accounts and look at your record and see what your disability benefit would be. So it is more than retirement. People think, oh, it's just retirement. No, it's retirement, survivor, and disability benefits. And you have that coverage as long as you're working and paying under Social Security.
You had actually had a story, Bob, of a situation you had downstate.
Yeah.
A significant income and said, you know, I really don't need this Social Security benefit.
Right.
I don't see that all the time, but in this case,
This guy's sitting at my desk, and he comes in and he just says, hey, Bob, you know, I did well over my life. I've had a lot of income, and, you know, I really don't need my Social Security. It's like, you know, what should I do with this? And, you know, I suggested to him, I said, you know, first of all, I picked my jaw up off the table because, you know, I hear I'm struggling to raise a family. I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, good for him. Love it. Absolutely love it. And I suggested to him, I said, you know, what you could do is you could set up a scholarship at the local school, at a local high school. And he goes, you know, that's a great idea. And that's what he did.
Wow.
He set up a fund, you know, his, whatever his name, the John Smith Scholarship Fund at the local high school. And he funded it through his Social Security.
Great.
So I said, man, way to give back, buddy. Way to go. Just absolutely love that.
You bet.
Yeah. Loved it.
Excellent. So they may decide, obviously, they can always give a portion of whatever they're earning to Social Security. But if at certain points or stages they have too much income, then they can be... they can use it as a charitable gift.
They sure can.
Absolutely. All right. So, Ron, we had some other questions.
On the phone line, we have Dave from Lake Leelanau. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Yeah. Good morning, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
My question is, what percentage of our Social Security do we actually have to pay taxes on?
It depends on your gross income, and it can be up to 85%.
Wow.
Of your Social Security is taxable.
Is so taxable.
It's a lot, Dave.
Wow. So my next question is, why would Bill Clinton pass that law when Social Security wasn't even taxed? Why would he pass a law that we had to start paying taxes on a tax that was already taken out of our income?
Well, that's a question for the politicians to answer, Dave. What I love about working for Social Security, we are apolitical. We don't go, we're not political. We do what the politicians, what the law says. That's what we do. But, as Bill Clinton would say, I feel your pain.
Yeah. That was back in the era when they had the Newt Gingrich Congress, and they actually balanced the budget back then with some of that.
That's true.
All right, Philip from Luce County in the UP is on the line. Good morning, Philip.
Good morning.
Good morning, Philip.
I'm 74, and I've been on disability Social Security for 20 years. 4 years ago, my wife passed away, and I'm wondering if I'm due to any survivor benefits of hers.
It's quite possible, Philip. What you should do is give us a call. You can call 1-800-772-1213 and tell them the exact same thing you told me. Say, hey, I'm 74. My wife died. Is there any benefit for me? We will need your Social Security number and your wife's Social Security number, and we'll be able to look that up and tell you whether there's anything there for you.
Okay, thank you.
Very good.
Bob, could you repeat that phone number again? That went by kind of fast.
Yep. The phone number is 1-800-772-1213. That's the national 800 number, and 7 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon. Call that number. It's nationwide. I know, Ron, your listening audience is huge. You know, UP. I've heard you in Grand Rapids. And on the internet as well.
There you go.
So call us, and we'll be more than happy to help you.
All right. We're sorry we cannot get to everybody's questions, but you can call that 1-800 number. You can make appointments to go in and see Bob or to your staff.
You can.
Okay.
You can. But we're going to try to do it over the phone, though.
All right. That'll wrap it up. WTCM Traverse City. Thank you, Dennis Prout, sir. Heidi Cartwright, Deanne Jennings, and again, Bob Simpson. Thank you all.
Thank you, Ron.
Thanks for all tuning in.